Let's, Be'ez Hashem B'li Neder, let's finish us together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Le'il Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David C. Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Psachim, daf Nun Gimel. Now, we did the end of Nun Bey's very quickly, so I'd like to just review it quickly. One more time, the end of yesterday's daf, because we did it a little bit fast yesterday. It's really not difficult. The Gemara says, Rabbi Eloi, I'm going to start again from the end of what we did yesterday. It's about 15 lines up from the bottom on Nun Beis Nun Beis. Rabbi Eloi cuts kafne yasa de shvius. Rabbi Eloi, he chopped down a young date tree on the Shemitah when it had like unripe, had very, very small unripe fruits on it. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Avrachi, Lach Lemachon Velola Hefsid, you're not allowed to destroy Shemitah fruit. And if you'll try to tell me, maybe it's only us to chop it down once it's a fully developed fruit, but if it's just the small little pieces of fruit, it's not a problem. You want to tell me that there's no problem of destroying the Shemitah fruit when it's just unripe, it's like small unripe fruits on it. Unripe Arla fruit, asire. It's also even when it's unripe fruit. Hol v'nasa shomer l'peri. V'shomer l'peri l'mas havi b'kufrei when they're small little unripe fruits. V'kakari l'hu peri. So when you see by arla, so Rav Nachman says they are considered to be fruit and they're also in arla, so you shouldn't be able to chop it down by Shemitah. Gentlemen, for those of you who just joined, I'm just reviewing the end of the daf that we did yesterday because we did it a little bit quickly. The Gemara answers Rav Nachman da'amar k'Rav Yosi. You're right, it's a machlokas tanoim. Disnan Rabbi Yosi Omer Smadar, when grapes are very, very unripe, usser. Even though they're very unripe, they just started to be born. Grapes, when it comes to Smadar, are usser for Arlam. B'neishu Peri, it is called a Peri. Upligi Rabbanan Ale. But the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Yosi, both by Shemitah and by Arla, and they say small little unripe fruit are not considered to be significant. So when Rabbi Eloi cut down on Shemitah these unripe fruit, it was because he held like Rabbanan. But now the Gemara is going to prove that the Rabbanan don't disagree with Rabbi Yosi. They agree to Rabbi Yosi that unripe fruit are considered to be ripe by certain things, by dates. And we're talking here about dates, only by grapes and olives and buxer. Carob tree, those three are considered to be significant even when they're not significant till a later stage, but all other fruit, as soon as they develop a small little bit, they are considered to be fruit, even Chacham agree. Maskel Rav Shimon Ardo, mi pli Rabbanan Rabbi Yosi b'shari lanos. Does Rabbanan really argue in Rabbi Yosi and say that unripe fruit are not considered to be fruit by shari lanos? No, it's only by grapes and olives and buxer. V'hatanan, we learned in a mission in Shvi'is, me'emasa ein kotzen selanos v'shvi'is. So when are you not allowed to cut down trees during the Shemitah? Yebeshamai omrim, kalai lanos mishe yotzi. Yebeshamai says, all trees, as soon as it starts developing a little bit of fruit, it's usher. Beis hil omrim, hecharuvin. So the carob trees, you have to wait a little longer. Mishe yishar shiru. They got to actually have the a chain of buxer. Vagfanim mishe yagriu. And the grapes need a little bit more. They have to be grown a little bit more than the smadar. Vazesim mishe yonitsu. And olives need a little bit more. Vishar kol yilanos mishe yotzi. But all other trees, he agrees that it's even when it just begins to show a little bit of a sign of a fruit. Vamravasi, hu boser hu geru hu pulalavan. That these shiurim, boser geruot, it has to be a little bit more developed, is the same when it's the size of a white bean. Pulalavan sakadatach, what's the white bean doing there? Elema, kip pulalavan, when it reaches the size of a white bean. Uman sham slay to amar boser in smadar lo. Who's the author of the opinion that says that they have to grow a little bit longer? They can't just be the very beginnings of a fruit. They have to be a little bit more developed. That's Rabbanan. Uktani shar kol ilanos mishe yotziu. But they agree that all other trees, and here we're talking about a date tree, that's even when it begins to have a fruit, it's already usher. So we're back to our original question. How could this Rabbi Eloi chop down during Shemitah a date tree that already had the beginnings of the fruit? once the beginnings of the fruits decide to show. So a date tree, Chachamim say, it's already usher. You're not allowed to get rid of Shemitah fruit by your dime. You're not allowed to chop down the tree. So the Gemara comes to a different answer. Ella, Rabbi Loi bidinischani cuts. The date tree that he chopped down was a male date tree. Apparently, there's different types of date trees. There's a male date tree and a female date tree. The female date tree, the stuff grows on the tree like normal. But the male date tree, the fruit that grows on it, apparently never ripen on the tree. So even when you chop down the tree, you could take the male dates and put them into a basket and let them grow on their own. So you're not destroying them. The male date tree, when you chop down the tree, even when they're very young, they never ripen on the tree. They ripen afterwards. A complicated story about how, but this is talking about a different date tree. It's not talking about a regular date tree that grows normal fruit. It's talking about the male date tree that even if when you chop it down, you could still take the dates off and you're not destroying them. You could let them ripen on their own off the tree. They never ripen on the tree. They always ripen off the tree. So even it doesn't matter when you chop them down, even chopping them down at a young age, are not destroying them. They could ripen on their own off the tree. That's all makeup from yesterday. Now we'll start today's daf. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught in the Braisa, Ochlen ba'anavim ad sheichlu dolyos shel ochel. How long do you have to eat grapes during the Shemitah year until there are no more grapes, these grapes that were on top of these reeds, you know, the one that when they would grow grapes, the grapes would grow like not just on vines, but then they would have these like sticks that they would grow. So until the grapes on sticks of a place called Ochel, that's the latest where they grow. V'emyesh mucharis mehen, and if you find that there are even later grapes than those growing in that place, Ochel aleim, that's good too. As that was the usual place that they would go to find the grapes, but sometimes you could find grapes growing elsewhere. If you went and checked and found other ones, you could still eat the grapes. Ochlen b'zeisim ad sheichla achron she'betekoa. Right? Tekoa in the Mishnayos was known as a place that produced very fine oil. So that's where they had the date, the olives growing the longest. So you would basically, if you knew there were still olives growing in Tekoa, you could eat olives in your house. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ad sheichla achron shel gush chalav, a different place that also had a lot of olives. Kedei she'ehe ani yotze. Now, how much, right? It's not when you could find one individual olive somewhere. So it's that a poor person who's looking for olives, he will not find neither in the branches of the tree nor around the tree a quarter of a kav. Right? Once there's not a quarter of a kav there, so it's not considered to be anything significant, and that's when you have to stop eating. Ochlin begrogros, if you have dried out, dried figs. Ochlin begrogros, when can you eat the dried figs till achichlu page beis hine? That was a place that had a lot of figs. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo huskru page beis hine, elin yin meiser. No, page beis hine is not the shear of time of Shvius. It's considered significant. The figs of page, the figs of beis hine are considered to be significant in halacha, not for Shemitah, but rather as far as Meiser is concerned. As we learned in the Mishnah, Pagi Beis Hine, apparently they're always small. They never got to be big. V'ahine de Tuvina, and figs from a place called Tuvina, which remain small all the time, Chayavim b'Meiser. So you might think that they're not considered fully developed, but we need that shear to teach me that it's Chayav and Meiser. But Beis Hine does not play a role in terms of the Zman HaBir for Shemitah. It plays a role as far as that even those small version of figs are considered to be Chayiv and Shumas and Mises. Ochlin bat Tamarim, you are allowed to eat figs ad sheyichle ha'achron shebetzoar. But in terms of Ochlin bat Tamarim, you're allowed to eat dates of Shemitah ad sheyichle achron shebetzoar. Right, Tzoar was a city that had a lot of dates, so you could eat dates until the last dates of Tzoar. Rav Shim Gamliel Omer, Ochlin al shel beis hakipin. Right, we saw this earlier in yesterday's daf. You're allowed to eat the dates of Shemitah those that are found on the tree between the tips of the date palm, ve'en ochlin al shel beis hashitzin. But if they're left among the thorns that grow at the base of the date palm, the animals can't get to those, and therefore they're no longer considered to be significant. Ask the Gemara. So the Gemara asks now, wait a second. So all these times, we give various times about whether it's left in a certain town. Ask the Gemara, Reminu, Ochlin ba'anavim ara Pesach, bezesim ara tzeres. You could eat grapes until Pesach, olives till Shavuos, ba'grogros, dried figs ara Chanukah, ba'tamarim ara Purim, and dates until Purim. So wait a minute, does it depend on whether they're left in a certain town? Or does it depend on various times? V'amar of Bibi, Rabbi Yochanan tarte basraisa machlef. Rabbi Bibi said that he flipped the last. Rabbi Yochanan had a different girsa, so he flipped the last two. He said that figs are till Chanukah and dates are until Purim. He flipped those and said he learned that figs are till Purim and dates are till Chanukah. But either way, all these four time periods are different than what we just said before. Answers the Gemara, Edivi dechad shiurahu. So the first answer is no. We're just letting you know that in those various towns, this holiday was generally speaking when it was still left in those towns. It's the same shiur. That's the first answer. V'iba yisema. Second answer is no. Haktani behedja im yesh mucharis mehen ochlan alein. It said in the first brisa that these are the towns that generally speaking the last dates or figs or grapes were, but it said already in the first brisa if you find stuff around even later than that, it's still okay. So the second brisa is coming to complete it and say if you find stuff around elsewhere, it's still okay, but until when? There's a limit. So you go up until these holidays. So explains the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish further explains that according to the first answer, the times in both brises that are the same time, that's if you don't go and check elsewhere. But if you check and find that there are stuff elsewhere, even if you find after Pesach that there's still grapes around, you're allowed to eat them. That's according to the first answer. But according to the second answer, no. After these time periods, even if you find somewhere, but according to the second answer, so after these times in the second brisa, you're not allowed to eat, even if you find stuff there after these holidays, because we have a chazaka that they're already spoiled and they no longer have a good taste and they're not considered to be chashiv, so you're not allowed to eat based on them. So says the Chazon Ish in explaining these two answers. Fine, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Simin Laharim Milin. If you want to know what's considered to be a mountainous region, we'll see in the Gemara in a second why you needed to know what's considered to be a mountainous region. So, gall nuts. I don't exactly know what gall nuts are, but they show up in the Gemara all the time. They were used in the in making parchment, right? Gall nut juice, right? Mea afatzim. But anyway, afatzim, milin is a type of, right, they're made for ink. Rashi in Masechet Shabbos says they're made for ink, and Erevin, Rashi and Shavuos and Erevin. Okay, so if you want to know what's a mountain, you got to have gallnuts growing there. Simen la'amakim, what's considered to be a valley, dekalim, date palms, they grow in the valley. Simen le'nechalim, if you want to know a place that's called a stream or a river, kanim, you have to have reeds growing there. Simen, like Moshe Rabbeinu, was in the reeds, right, the kanim, last week's parsha. Shtickle Daf Yomi Quinnitz. We're going to have a major Daf Yomi Quinnitz in a minute. Major, major. This is like a minor one. We're going to have a black on white major one. Simen l'nechalim, kanim. The Simen l'shvela, you want to know what's called a plain, shikma. You got to have sycamore tree growing. That's a sign that it's called a plain. Af mishen rai l'davar, zeich l'davar. We have a hint to this, a pasukin malachim aleph and divrei hayamin, shenemar. The fact that there's going to be a lot of wealth during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, Vayitein HaMelech, Es HaKesef B'Yerushalayim Ka'avanim, so money was like stones, Es HaArozim, Nosan Kashikmim Asher B'Shvela L'Rov, and the Erez, the cedar tree, was like the sycamore in the plains. There were so many of them. So Here you see that a plane is defined by its sycamore trees. Says the Gemara, what do you need to know these things for? Simin laharim milin, simin la'amakim dekalim. Why do you have to know what the where mountainous region is and where a valley is? Nafkamina libikurim. You have to know from whence you are not, from where you are not allowed to bring bikurim. Distan, we learned in the Mishnah bikurim, ein mevin bikurim elam yishivas haminim. You have to bring, the halach is when it comes to bikurim, you only chayvim bikurim if you bring one of the seven species of the land of Israel. Chita, seora, gefen, teina, rimon, zeis, shemen, udvash. Right? Dates and figs and olives and wheat and barley, etc. Velomi de kolam shebaharim, velomi peros shebamokim. You're not allowed to bring dates from the mountainous region because they're not considered to be good dates that grow there in the mountains. Velomi peros shebamokim. And you're not allowed to bring from the wheat and the barley in the valleys because water collects there and it causes the wheat and the barley to rot. So you cannot use wheat and barley from the valleys. Simon l'nachalim kanim nafkamina l'nachal esan. What do you need to know where a stream is or a brook is? You're saying there's only where reeds grow, like baby Moshe in the reeds, in the water. So that's for the halach of egla rufa that you need to have. You need to bring the small calf, right? When a dead body is found smack in between two cities, you don't know who killed him, so you bring this calf down to a Nachal Esan, and you slaughter it. It's got to be in a stream, an area next to a stream. That's what the Torah says. So it's got to be reeds. If you want to know what a stream is, it's got to be reeds. Simon l'shvei l'shikva, yeah, who cares what's called a plain? What halacha is that relevant to? That a plain is a place that has sycamore trees? Nafkamina l'mekach u'memkar. No, that's nafkamina that if you're selling planes, it's got to have sycamore trees. Says the Gemara, really? That's a nafkamina? Once you got to that nafkamina, that could have been the answer to all of them. If you're selling mountains, if you're selling a valley, so it's got to have that. Hashdas lahachi kulunami lemeka chamemka. You could have given that answer for all the other ones as well. Okay, next, Mishnah. So the Mishnah is going to speak about a fact that it's usur to sell to a guy a big fat animal, behema gasa. The reason for this is we're afraid that you are going to rent it to him and not sell it to him, lend it to him, or rent it to him, and then he's going to use it to do malacha on Shabbos. And we know that if you're not even allowed to lend your animal to somebody, and perhaps not even to rent it to him, and to have him do malacha with your animal. As long as you're the owner, your animal is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. Lo sas kom malacha tovin chavitecha adecha v'amaska v'amtecha. V'chol v'amtecha. Right. And they're also nervous they'd sell it to a guy Erev Shabbos right before Shabbos, and the guy say, let's try it out. And so before he buys it, you're going to violate Shabbos. That's another possibility. So let's see the Mishnah. Now, these things are only by a big, thick, fat behema gasa, which is used for work, and not for a behema daka, like a goat or a sheep, which generally were not used for work. However, there were some places that there were the noig to be machmir, there was a minig to be machmir, even by selling behema gasa, behema daka. And that's, since the Mishnah is talking about various minhagim, that's what this whole parak is talking about. Different minhagim, so we're talking about the minhag to not sell even behema daka. So let's see the Mishnah. So everywhere it was usur to sell behema gasa, but malkum shenagu limkar behema daka l'nachrim, a place where the minhag was even to not sell behema daka, mochrin malkum shenagu limkar, in a place where the minhag was not to sell it, ein mochrin. What's the issue? So Rashi explains. Over here. What's the reason? You're not allowed to sell behema daka because maybe you'll come to sell behema gasa. Isn't this a gzera l'gzera? Right? Usually you don't make a gzera on a gzera. Because what are you saying here? Don't sell behema daka because you might come to sell behema gasa. And don't sell behema gasa because you might come to rent or lend behema gasa. Don't sell it because you might come to lend or rent it. It's a double gzera. It's a vintage gzera l'gzera. So how could they be gozer? It's a gzeira l'gzeira. So the Meiri writes, and this is the classic example whenever this question comes up. The Meiri writes, Kula chad gzeira. Now, it wasn't two different gzeiras. It was all one gzeira. Shemitchila gozer came to bas achas. They were gozer all at once to not only asar behema gasa, but even behema daka. And we find, the Gemara says in Beit and Daf Gimel, that in a case where they make a double gzeira at the same time, all at one time, so then it's not a problem of gzeira l'gzeira. It's very difficult. The Gemara gives this answer all over the place. Now, in Meseches Avodah Zarah, on Yudal and Beis, Rav explains that in places that they're the minhag to not sell, it was for a different reason. The Goyim in that place were nechshedu on bestiality, on having relations with animals. That's why they wouldn't sell them. Wow. And the places that they were knowing to yes sell were places that the Goyim didn't do that kind of thing. They didn't sleep with the animals. That's an opinion in Avodah Zarah. And there's a third pshat. Well, the Malo Haroim writes, the reason why Rashi here did not explain that reason, because the conclusion of the Gemara over there in Avodah Zarah is that we are not worried that the goyim are going to sleep with the animals. Right? The guy is not going to do that. Okay. Let's continue. Uvachol makom, even in a place where the minig is to sell behema daka, ein mochin lehem behema gasa. So the big, thick, fat animals, everyone agrees you're not allowed to sell that to them, like a cow. The big, thick animals. And not only that, even when they're young, agalum musiyachim, young donkeys or young calves, shleimin ushvurin, whether they are healthy or whether they have broken legs, so they're not going to be able to be used for malacha, nevertheless, you're not allowed to sell them. Same story. Says that the Teferes Yisrael, even though it's gzeira l'gzeira, right, you're telling me don't sell them when they're young because maybe they'll sell them when they're old. Don't sell them when they have a broken leg because maybe they'll sell them when they don't have a broken leg. No, it's all one gzeira. Same story, says the Teferes Yisrael. Here it's different. The Teferes Yisrael writes in his commentary on the Mishnayos that they made one big gzeira to aser everything. And here we see that you do our gozer l'gzeira. And the Rambam, Perusha Mishnayos, writes, the reason for the Isser were for the broken leg, it's ru'uya to a little bit of malacha, like to grind in a grinder. Even if it has a broken leg, it's still ru'uya to do something. Fine. Rabbi Huda Mater Bishvura. Rabbi Huda says that if it has a broken leg, it's permissible because the guy's going to shecht it. He's not going to use it for work. Ben Beseira Mater Besus. Ben Beseira permitted selling of a horse because a horse was not, at least in those days, primarily, was made for riding and not for malacha. And riding is only nisa d'rabbanan on Shabbos. It's not a nisa d'oraisa, so we're not worried about it. Makom shenagu lecha. Now here's a very fascinating halacha. Makom shenagu lecha tzli b'leile psachim. A place where they had accustomed to eat roast meat. Bizman hazeh. Meaning after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on Pesach night. And we're not worried that maybe it looks like you're eating karbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash. Ochlin, so you're allowed to eat it. But makom shnagu shelo lechol, a place where the minig is not to eat roast meat on Pesach night, ain ochlin. In the Kamenetsky family, we have the minig not to eat roast meat on Pesach night because it's nirek ochal kachim bachutz, based on this halacha. So that's why many people at this Pesach Seder, they have like stew, like a cooked meat, not roasted. It's cooked in liquid, so it's not a problem. And some say only meat, but chicken is okay because you don't bring the carbon from that. Amar Rabbi Marav, Asal Olam Shiocha Basar Ze LePesach. Who? Asal Olam Sheyomar. I'm sorry, Asal Olam Sheyomar Basar Ze. Right. That's why when we say at the Seder Kamenetsky Minig, Rabbi Gamliel Hayomer Koshlo Amar Shlosh Dvar Melo Pesach Lo Yotze Dechavasa. So you point by the matzah, the mar, but you don't point by the Pesach, because it is Gemara. Pesach, don't point to the shank bone on the Seder plate. Pesach, matzah, mar. So we don't point at the Pesach, because of this Gemara. I don't know. Asa lo ladam sheyomar. It's also for a person to say, basar zeh le pesachu. even though he just means I'm going to eat this meat on Pesach, not that this meat should be for the Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to point to the meat and say this is going to be for Pesach, because it looks like you're eating Karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. B'pnei shenira kemakdish behemto, it looks like you're designated as a Karban Pesach, v'ochel kachim b'chutz, and you're eating Karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav Papa, dafka basar. Right, this only applies to meat, aval chite, but wheat, lo. Even if you're saying this wheat is for Pesach, so it's not a problem. Deminta lepesach karmer, you mean that you're watching it for matzah. Ubasar lo? Really, basar yana, this meisvei. Amar Rabbi Yossi said, Todus ish Romi. So a certain chash of a Jew who lived in Rome, whose name was Todus, Hineges b'nei Romi, he taught to all the people of Rome, Lechol gedayim mikulasim, that you are allowed to eat roasted goats or sheep that could be used for Karban Pesach. Mikulasin means that they were roasted the same way the Karban Pesach was roasted, fully rosha al krav al kirbo, with all the insides, the way they used to do it for the Karban Pesach. Belele Psachim, he said, you're allowed to do it. Dafki, you should do it to remember the Karban Pesach. Shol chulo, the rabbi sent him, Il Mali Todus Ata, if you weren't such a chash of a Jew named Todus, Gozarno Alecha Nidu, he would put you in Cherem for doing this. Shatamachas Yisrael Kachim Bachutz, because it looks like you're feeding the Jewish people Karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Kachim Salka Daitach. Real Kachim? What do you mean? He didn't make it Kachim. Ela Ema, what they meant to explain to him was, Karov Lahachil Es Yisrael Kachim Bachutz. No, it looks like it. It looks like in Karban Pesach, and people who see it are going to think that you were makdish as a Karban Pesach, you're imitating it too much. Says the Gemara, Mikulas in, sounds like that. The only problem was where it was done roasted in the same way that the Karban Pesach was, with all the innards next to it. But she ain't Mikulas low. But if you just did regular roast meat, it's not a problem. Says the Gemara. So it sounds like only that way is a problem. Amre. Says the Gemara, no. Mikulas loshna omar loshna lo omar. If you roast it like that, then it's usser whether you say this is for Pesach or not. But she'eno mikulas, but if it's not roasted, so piresh in, if you say this is for Pesach, it's a problem. Lo piresh lo. But if you don't say it's Karban Pesach, it's not a problem. Rav Acha masni lo hamastisa k'Rabbi Shimon. Rav Acha learned that the author of this brisa was Rabbi Shimon, and based on that he asked Akasha, Maskif lo Rav Sheshes, Bishlam alamad the Tanila k'Rabbi Yossi Nicha. When you told me the author of this brisa was Rabbi Yossi, so that's okay, right? I'm Rabbi Yossi, Todus Ish Romi. It was Rabbi Yossi, the whole story with Todus in Rome. When you told me it was Rabbi Yossi Nicha, that the brisa that says that if you eat this goat that was totally done like the Karban Pesach, it looks like you're eating kachim b'chutz. It makes sense if you say it's Rabbi Yossi. Elamad demastin k'Rabbi Shimon minicha. But if you tell me that the author of this brisa is Rabbi Shimon, is this brisa good? V'atanan. But wait a second. But we learned in a Mishnah Menachos that's talking about a guy who makes a neder to bring a Karban Mincha that is not royal akrava. The Mishnah says like this, you need a little background. Ha'omer harei alai mincha min ha'seorim. If a guy says, I'm going to bring a Karban Mincha from barley, now you can't bring a Karban Mincha from barley, so yavi min achitim. Tanakama says, he didn't know the halacha, so he still is obligated to bring one, but he brings it from the wheat, which is the thing that you are allowed to bring it from. Since we know that you're not allowed to give a voluntary Karban Mincha from barley, so the nether on the barley is not chal. What did the guy say? I want to bring a Karban Mincha? Then he says, from barley. So Tanakama says, the neder is not chal on barley, but we do still uphold his beginning words where he says he wants to bring a mincha, and he has to bring a mincha from chitim. That's Tanakama. That's Tanakama over there in Menachos. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Potro, Rabbi Shimon exempts him totally. Because, yeah, it's true that in the beginning he said he wanted to bring a mincha, but he said he wanted to bring a mincha from barley. He never said he wanted to bring a mincha from wheat. So we take all of his words into account, even the end of his words, and his das was that which he stated. He intended to bring a barley mincha, so he's not obligated to bring the wheat mincha. So his words are completely thrown out. and we don't reinterpret and re-understand his words. We don't say that what he meant to say was, okay, whatever I'm allowed to bring, that's what I want to bring. He just happened to think that barley was okay, and he was wrong. No. Rabbi Shimon says we throw his words out entirely. Why? Shelo hisnadev kiderech hamisnadvim. Because he did not use the proper text of wheat, which is which would be the proper one for a korban mincha. So the Gemara is now going to ask, if so, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're not worried that people who see him eating a gedi mekulas, a goat that was completely roasted like a korban pesach, that people are going to say that he was eating kachim b'chutz, because while this goat was alive, the guy never appointed it as a korban pesach, and at the time he was roasting it, he also didn't say it's a korban pesach. And even if he would say it, we don't consider his words considered to be significant, because he didn't do it the right way. So just like Rabbi Shimon says, if you didn't make the Karban Mincha the right way, we're not worried. So too over here by Karban Pesach, if you don't designate the right way as Karban Pesach, we're not worried. So how could you tell me Rabbi Shimon is the author of this opinion? So the Gemara continues to ask, even if you said anything, Rabbi Yossi, Amalei Ravina leRavashi, Uman demastin leKarab Yossi miNicha. And okay, you just told me that you don't like the opinion that says that the author was Rabbi Shimon. And if you tell me the authors of Rabbi Yossi, so everything fits in fine and dandy. Is it really work? V'ha'ama Rava, but didn't Rava say Rabbi Shimon, who exempts someone who says a mincha from a barley, b'shitas Rabbi Yossi Amara. Rabbi Shimon agreed with Rabbi Yossi in that which what he said. So you see, it's even a problem according to Rabbi Yossi. De'amar. Af begemar devar of Adam Nitfas, that Rabbi Shimon agrees to Rabbi Yossi that we even look at the end of the person's words. And therefore, my. So what is this opinion of Rabbi Yossi? Lav, is it not? Me de Rabbi Shimon savalak Rabbi Yossi. From the fact that Rabbi Shimon agrees to Rabbi Yossi that we hold the end of his words, Rabbi Yossi nami savalak Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yossi also would agree to Rabbi Shimon that any person who does not say the right language, the neder is not chal. So even if Rabbi Yossi is the author of this price of todos, it's the same thing. The guy didn't make any neder over here. Why he didn't? It's not valid. Answers the Gemara. Okay, no, that question you can answer. Says the Gemara. Lo, Rabbi Shimon, who exempts a guy who says harei alai mincha min asaorim, he holds like Savala Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi lo Savala Reb Shimon. But no, Rabbi Yossi, he did not agree to Reb Shimon's words. He did not agree to Reb Shimon's words. He holds that if a guy says Mincha Minasa Orim, has to bring a Mincha from the Chitim, even though normally he does look at the end of the words as well. And according to the end of his words, it's meaningless. Nevertheless, he holds that you're still chayav because a person's not going to just say his words levatala, and therefore his intention is to obligate himself in that which he did say, even though he didn't say it the right way. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. And therefore, so the opinion that said it was Rabbi Yossi, you could say that todus forbade that gedi, even though it wasn't said exactly correctly, but that could go according to Rabbi Yossi. Ask the Gemara, why did we, the rabbi said, if you weren't todus, we would put you in cherem for this. Ibailu, now, why did they not put todus in cherem? In what way was todus a good guy? What? Ibailu, todus ishromi gavra rabahava, was because he was a gadol batora? That's why they respected him, they wouldn't put him in cherem? Obala grofenhaya? Or was it because he was a wealthy, strongman guy, so they were scared to put him in cherem? Apparently, this is an old problem. The Chasam Sofer, Ala Torah, Parshas Shmos. Whoa, Daf Yomi Kohen says, the Chasam Sofer in his commentary on the Chumash and Parshas Shmos, it's also quoted in his Kedushim on Shas, explains, what's the difference What's the difference if whether or not they didn't put him in cheirem was because he was a rabbi or because he was just a tough guy that they didn't want to start up with? So this there's a Magen Avraham in Tafresh Tzadi in the name of the Ma'arik that a good minog that is found in a certain posek, you're not allowed to be mevatel it in a place where they had the good minog, even if it has a little bit of an isser in it. And the Magen Avraham says that dafka minog that was made based on Talmidei Chachamim. So that's why the Chasam Sofer says, that's why the Gemara wants to know. Is this minog of not eating, this minog of yes, eating roasted meat, so is it based on a real legit source or not? So that's why the Gemara has a question. Is the reason why they didn't put him in cheirem because he was a Talmud Chacham or because he was just a bully and they didn't want to start up with him? So that's why the Gemara is asking the minhag that Toda said to eat roasted meat, even with a whole big thing like they did the Karban Pesach, to remember the Karban Pesach, is it a legit minhag or not? If he's a Chacham, so then you're not going to be mevatelin in the towns that have that minhag, even though there's a tzad iser mishum chashash kachim b'chutz. But if he wasn't a Chacham, so then we shouldn't observe the minhag. So says the Chasam Sofer. Fascinating. In this week's parsha. Okay, I missed that Chasam Sofer, but okay. Ibailahu. So, Todos Yisroel, Migava Rabab, was he a Talmud Chacham or Baal HaGrofenhaver? Or was he just a bully? Tashema, we'll bring a proof from this. And here comes the most amazing Daf Yomi coincidence. Listen to this. Odzu Darash Todos Yisroel. Todos Yisroel had another drasha. Maro Chanani Mishal Vazari Shemashin Atzmanak Duchas Hashem Lekim Shana Eish. Chanani, Mishael, and Azariah threw themselves into a burning fire rather than bow down to an image of Nebuchadnezzar. Why did they give up their lives? Why didn't they bow down? Don't we know that you're supposed to not give up your life except for three averos? We'll get to this in a minute. Nosu kavachomer batzman mitzvardeim. They made a kavachomer from the frogs in this week's parsha. What a dafyomi coincidence! Frogs are not commanded to give up their life for God. Yet in this week's parsha it says that the frogs, even Hashem said the frogs are going to go into the ovens and kill themselves. So the frogs had to listen to Hashem. They had to give up their lives for Hashem. So they jumped into the ovens, even though they weren't commanded on Kiddush Hashem. When is the bread in there? It's got to be the oven was hot. So you see the frogs jumped into the ovens and killed themselves even they were hot. So anu So we, Hanani, Mishael, Bazar, we're human beings. We're obligated to sanctify the name of Hashem. How much more so we have to give up our lives? Now this is a Tosus over here in Maro. First of all, what do you mean? Wasn't this Avodah Zarah? Everyone has to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. So some say that it's going according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says you don't have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. Unbelievable. There's one opinion over there in Sanhedrin that Avodah Zarah is not one of the big three. Unbelievable. We don't follow that opinion. We hold you have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. Others say no, that this wasn't really Avodah Zarah. It was just a matter of respect for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar didn't want people bowing down to show that he was a god. No, it wasn't Avodah Zarah at all. Well, the thing wasn't Usher at all. I told this, but it was Befarhesia. It was Befarhesia. So in public, you have to give your life for any Avera. Even Chil Shabbos, even Treif, Befarhesia, that's what the Rishonim ask. Wasn't it Befarhesia? So some say, no, it wasn't Usser at all. And even Befarhesia, there would be no problem. It's not, there was no Isser Bechlal. It was just as a sign of respect. And they were going out of their way to give up their lives because somebody might think that they were doing it for Avodah Zarah. It was like a Maris Ayin. That's what, and by the way, that's also a question. Are you allowed to give up your life for something that you're not obligated to give up your life? So there's a Tosus in Avodah Zarah, Chav Zayin on Beis, Tosus Avodah Zarah says, yeah, for sure, you're allowed to give up your life for anything. Let's say you want, let's say, again, a guy puts a gun together, it's in private, it's not in public, it's not a Shas HaShmad, it's nothing. Are you allowed to give up your life? You want to be a tzaddik, you want to give your life and not be Mechal Shabbos. Are you allowed to do that? So Tosa says yes. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says you're not. It's like committing suicide. The Rambam says you're not allowed to give up your life for the other than the big three because Hashem gave you life for Chaybahem. You're not allowed to volunteer to be a tzaddik and give up your life. Anyway, that comes up over here as well. Fine. Let's continue. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin Omer Matil Miloi Lekis Shel Tamini Chachamim Haya. So Rabbi Yosef Avin says, Todus was a supporter of the Talmidei Chachamim. He was a big tzaddik, and that's why they didn't put him in Cheirim. Anyone who provides support for the Talmidei Chacham to make parnasa, he's going to have a great seat in Gan Eden. Right? If you supported Talmidei Chacham, you're going to have a great seat in Gan Eden. A little bit more. We'll do it just a little bit more. A place where the minhag was to light a candle on Yom Kippur night, they would light. Makom shnagel shelo lahadlik ein madlikin. The place where the minhag was not to light, they wouldn't light. Both of them were for the same reason, the Gemara is going to say, because you don't want to have light in Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to have marital relations, so you don't want light because you can't have marital relations, and you also don't want light because you're afraid you'll be attracted to your wife. Umadlikin bebatei knesses ubatei midrashos, you would light candles in the shuls and the base medrash, with a mos hafim, in the place that there was a minhag, and in the dark alleys, al gabei acholim, and to be able to deal with the sick people. Says the Gemara Tana, Bein she'amru lahadlik or Bein she'amru shelo lahadlik, whether the minhag goes yes to light candles on Yom Kippur or not to light candles, it was for the same reason. Shnei mil davarech neskavnu. The minhag to light candles was to make sure they wouldn't have relations, because you're not allowed to have relations where there's lights on. And the minhag not to light candles, you shouldn't get excited by your wife, so you shouldn't want to have marital relations. Amr Mishua, Darash Rava, Va'amech kulam tzadikim la'olam yirshu aretz. They were both tzaddikim, whichever pshat you had. Amar Rida Meshmuel, Ein Mevarchin al Ha'ar Ella B'Motzei Shabbos. You only make a bracha on light on Motzei Shabbos, and not on Motzei Yom Kippur, because Motzei Hol Tchilas B'Yasehu, that's when the fire was created. It's not, you don't make the bracha on the hana from the light. It's not real hana. But it's just because that's when the light was created. I like that pshat, and Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. A little more. Ula was riding on a donkey. Rabbi Abba mimine v'Rabbi Rachana mismoli. Rabbi Abba was on his right, Rabbi Rachana was on his left. Rabbi Abba l'ula. Vada demishrid Rabbi Yochanan. Is it true that you said Rabbi Yochanan ain mevarchin ala or ela b'motzai Shabbos hold chios piyasahu? So hadar ula chazabe b'Rabbi Barachana bishus. He looked nastily at him. He was the one who said in the Rabbi Yochanan. You tell me I said Rabbi Yochanan. No, Rabbi Yochanan never said that. He looked at him. He said that's not Rabbi Yochanan held even on Motzai Yom Kippur. You make a bracha bori me'oreh ha'esh. No, I didn't mean that you said this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ela aha amri, I meant something else. The Tani Tanaka made the Rabbi Yochanan, a Tana held in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Yom Kippur Mishchalis b'Shabbos, Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, af b'makom she'amru, shelo lahadlik, even though you don't normally light a candle on Yom Kippur night, but madlikim nekavod Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you would light the candle. V'ani Rabbi Yochanan basrei, and Rabbi Yochanan answered, V'chachamim osrim. They said, no, even Yom Kippur that falls down on Shabbos, you wouldn't do it. Amar lei, ada tehei. So Ula said to Rabbi Barachana, yeah, that I agree with. In this I agree that Rabbi Yochanan said, but the other thing Rabbi Yochanan didn't say. Gemara tells about this Maisa, Kari Alayu. So they said about Ula and Rabbi Barachana, Kari Alayu, Rav Yosef said about them this pasuk, Mayim amukim eitzim b'levish. That a person's wise is like deep waters. Vish tivuna yidlena. Mayim amukim b'levish ze'ula. He was quiet. He didn't say that. He didn't tell Rabbi Rachana that he made a mistake. He just looked at him in a not nice way. Vish tivuna yidlena ze' Rabbi Barachana, who realized from the fact that he looked at him that he had made a mistake. Ve'inu kaman savrua. But Ula and Rabbi Rachana, who did not want to admit to Rabbi Abba that he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you don't make the bracha, who do they hold like? Ki hadam Rabbi Yochanan mevarchan ala or ben b'motzei Shabbos ben b'motzei Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, you make the bracha on the fire both on Motzei Shabbos and on Motzei Yom Kippur. V'chein Abba debar. That is our custom, that both on Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Kippur you make a bracha bori me'oreh ha'esh. I know I did this last part very fast, so tomorrow, b'li nether, I'm going to come back and do the last part again. Everyone, have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Have a good day. great day.